Welcome to Fresh Voices, ILTA's podcast series on careers in legal tech. The episode you're about to hear is particularly relevant to professionals in Europe. Hello and hi everyone. Welcome to ILTA's Fresh Voices podcast series. My name is Mercedes. I'm ILTA Europe's community manager and I am joined by Leanne.
Hi, Leanne Williams, business analyst and founder of the Inclusive Tech Community.
Before we begin, just a slight reminder that ILTA and Inclusive Tech have collaborated to deliver a podcast series on how to get into the tech market, different entry points, and then also how accessible the different roles are. Leanne, I will hand over to you to introduce our episode.
Marvelous. Each episode of the podcast, we will be discussing our thoughts and views on the latest hot topics, and we'll be joined by someone from the tech industry to give us a little insight into their role. Our theme today is adapting to accelerating technology change, and we are joined by Nicola Graham from Simplify Change. So Yay. Welcome, Nicola. Thank you for joining us today.
Hello, hello. Thank you for inviting me.
Please introduce yourself. Tell us a little bit about you.
Oh gosh, it's always a horrible thing to have to try and do.
Yeah, I know.
Need to learn how to brag a bit more. So hi, I'm Nicola Graham. I am the co-founder of a company called Simplify Change. We are a change management specialist. So my business partner and I have worked in technology pretty much our entire careers. I won't tell you how long that's been because it would disclose my age. But essentially we focus on anything that's relating to business change and we specialize in technology.
Marvellous. Well, I feel like when we're talking about accelerating technology change, a simplified change management person is a great person to have on. So tell us a bit of insight into the change management industry, particularly with technology, because I know that's a little bit harder than just any change.
Yes, absolutely. And actually, we're very, very passionate about technology change. And the reason we're passionate about that is because until recently, it was a specific area that wasn't really focused on when it comes to business change. So what I mean by that, and actually if I start by explaining exactly what I mean by business change, because obviously we always like to jargon bust, especially in technology, but there are different understandings when you use the word change management. So within project space, there is such a thing as change management, which is the process any project will go through if there is a change to a project. That is not what we're talking about here today. We are talking about business change management. Business change management is essentially adoption of new changes. It is transformation from old to new. And it is always, or it should always be applied when people are involved. So there's a common saying, if a product or change touches people, a business change manager should be required. So within technology, the reason that it's certainly a growing space in technology is up to now, it's not been really recognized how important business change is when you are rolling out a new technology change. But also it's around the disruption that technology is creating within organizations at the moment. So we all hear about the technology boom or the era of technology disruption. What we mean by that essentially is that all organizations out there are going through massive changes when it comes to their technology and the way that they use technology. Obviously, we have fabulous things going on in the world. We all get these really cool tools, whether we're using them through mobile phones or even through our working desktops. Essentially, we're given a lot more opportunity in organizations, and that's great. But what it means for all of your employees is that they are constantly being impacted by these changes happening to them. So, because of that acceleration of all of these new technologies coming out, we as in businesses need to start really understanding how these changes are impacting somebody's daily roles and how we can ensure that they are getting the best support that they can during that time.
Yeah, I feel like because working in technology myself, you think, oh my gosh, this tech is so cool, it'll be amazing. And then you present it to users maybe where the change management hasn't been done and people haven't adapted to the accelerating change, and it just falls flat on its face because no one sort of takes it up. So like, how do you find that from user adoption? Like people are I don't know, I can find that maybe some people are quite scared of the technology change because they think, oh gosh, I'm never going to know it. I'll use my mum as an example. I never, when the iPhone first came out, she'd never get one because she couldn't use one. So how do you overcome that user adoption and fear of the ever accelerating tech change?
Yeah, I mean, that's obviously something we can cover off fully in 30 minutes. But what I would say, and what you're rightly saying there, Leanne, is you're now dealing with five generations in one organization. So your colleagues and peers are going to be of ages ranging from fresh from university through to later ends of their own careers. So if you think about anyone that you could apply that logic to, you used your example of your mum, you're going to have to accept that some people are going to embrace technology a lot quicker and understand it probably often better than maybe you would, because I'm sorry to say it, but most youthful people have been born and raised with technology. So then they don't have that natural fear curve that some of us do when it comes to the transition of change. And also you're talking about a specific industry here of technology. And if you focus, obviously, Leanne, you work in technology yourself, and I'm sure most of us are familiar with conversations we may have had with somebody within information technology. The kind of personas that you have within IT vary massively compared to usually the business that they're dealing with. Mm-hmm. So what that means is you have a difference of language almost between the two areas. So you've got, on one hand, IT, who are predominantly involved and responsible for rolling out all of this massive change to a business that they don't, more often than not, they don't actually know how to communicate in the same language and sell and market the benefits of that change. So, you know, you'd be rolling out a project, for example, and you know how amazing that product is. You know that if Joe Bloggs from sales and marketing is going to take on this product, it's going to save X amount of time. It's going to make this kind of money. It's going to improve their efficiencies. It's going to help them collaborate. Whatever the benefits to them are, you know how great that is. But to them, unless you're communicating that in the right way and taking them on that journey, they're not even interested in listening to what you've got to say. So then you're in danger of these wonderful projects or products that you've spent time and money and energy creating not even being utilized because they don't even understand the benefits to them.
And so, I was going to ask, actually, on that note, Nicola, do you find that it's because what I find interesting is I think potentially there are two elements to this, is external and internal. And I was wondering if you find a vast difference or in attitudes, because especially for instance, in legal, a lot of the change I think is driven by the consumer market. So customers are basically forcing legal firm organizations to change how they operate because they're used to getting, they're kind of competing against service providers like banks and other, you know, professional services suppliers. So it's driving that. So it's kind of outward driving internal change. And I was wondering if which one seems more problematic if you're trying to drive change internally in the organization or externally for customers?
Yeah, I mean, it's a double-edged sword, unfortunately. So, and obviously it will always depend on the kind of change that you're talking about. In your example there, Mercedes, and we do see it a lot in legal firms, the change has been, the desired change has been driven by external factors or external needs. The danger that you then face is because it's been externally decided for you, you're not necessarily driving that change internally. So then what happens is it becomes this beast of an external forced situation upon you, rather than actually we desire this as a company to change. So the biggest hurdle that you then face there is the buy-in internally. So a lot of my role is focused on engagement and influencing specific people within an organization. And I'm very careful to not say management there, because it's not just management you need to influence. It's people that can advocate that change for you. If they're not of an internal desire to make that change happen, then actually what you end up doing is you end up facing a lot more what we call negative players or change players within the organization, because they're not actually understanding the need for the change themselves, other than, oh, well, the customers are, or the external factors are forcing that on us. So it's seen more negatively. So the way that you approach it would be very different compared to whether it was an internal change going outwards.
And do you see, I don't know if I'm going to put you on the spot by asking you this a little bit, I'm going to say name and shame, because that sounds too bad, but do you notice in industries, certain industries maybe are more reluctant to adapt to changes in technology, or does it purely depend on the negative players and driving force behind the change, or is it industry specific that it's a bit more?
It's a bit of both, and I am sorry to name and shame here, but legal firms are renowned for being the hardest to change, or legal departments within organisations. My experience has always been. and the reason for that, and ironically, actually, within that particular industry, and HR is very similar, anywhere that, and finance, to be fair. So I guess let me rephrase that. Any department or industry that focuses more on due diligence and compliance are more reluctant to change, because they have more to fear, because the benefits to them, the risk outweighs the benefits most of the time. Even though actually, and the way that you overcome that is you make sure that you educate them on the benefits around efficiencies and reassure them around those risks. And you obviously do a lot more support and handholding with that. And when I say handholding, that sounds like we're getting the crayons out. But what I mean by that is there's a lot more one-to-one and mandatory engagement and training, and that tends to overcome those hurdles a lot more.
Yeah. Just before we move on to your don't be sorry, I know you're like, oh, I didn't want to name and shame. Before we move on to your life as a professional, do you have any examples of any sort of like successes or client, I don't know if you can share the clients, but projects that you're working on, and how and what you're doing to overcome these barriers to change in technology?
Yeah, I will use a really good example for you, and I do have a whole pool of examples, and actually I love to talk about this example. It's because I think it was this very moment that I sat there and realized why I love my job so much. And it was a particular client of mine. And the individual, we were talking about generations, the individual was, I would say, of the older generations. I don't know Generation X? I don't know. I don't know the names these days. But this particular person had to accept that there was a change coming around the way that they managed their services. And I'm trying to be quite agnostic with the way I say all of this. But they essentially were given a mobile app, okay? And this mobile app was now going to become their system for inputting all of the information that they needed to do their job. This person was so reluctant, the most negative change player I've ever seen in my life, you know, actually quite rude by the end of it, if I'm honest. I was in demonstrations, workshops with this person, walking them through all of the training, or the trainer was, and this particular person was there literally hands crossed, and he was saying, I'm not going to use this product, I refuse, I don't see the benefits to me. And he was really quite rude and rude in that particular moment. Now we all kind of go, oh, that's really unprofessional, you know, this isn't right. It was my role and my education that enabled me to recognize exactly the where he was in his stages of grief. And we talk about grief around the fear curve. So every time every person goes through a change, from a loss of a loved one right through to changing the bus route that you go on, you're essentially going through change. And when you go through change, you go through different stages of fear, and those are accelerated based on the kind of change you're going through and how important it is to you. So this particular person, to him, this was a massive change. He was terrified of this change, and I was able to recognize that in the meeting. So I pulled him aside and had a private chat with him to try to really understand why he was so fearful of this change. And I discovered that he was scared that he was going to lose his job. He was in the later stages of his career. He was approaching retirement. If he loses this job, he's not got another one to go to, fears. At that point, I was able to then work with HR and reassure him how it wasn't a case of him losing his job. It was just this was going to free up some of his time so he could have more support for other areas of his role. So when we were able to recognize exactly what that was for him and then put him back into this training, this particular person, I was so proud of him, he went from such a negative and fearful person through to one of the most positive people that I've ever seen. And the moment that he embraced that change, he actually became the advocate for the change. Last time I heard, he actually is one of the champions of that product now. So he trains the people on it.
Yeah,
it was that moment I was like, that's one example of loads I've got you. When you see somebody kind of accept and embrace and then start to find the positives in something, it makes me feel really, really privileged to do my job, if I'm honest.
Yeah. And it's amazing hearing you talk about, you know, the people and how you can work with people to adapt to accelerating technology change. One of the things that we've spoke about often on the podcast is not being able to code or not knowing the technology lingo. And so brings me nicely onto your life as a professional and how you evolve to the demands of technology. And I sort of say so often, you don't have to need to code to work in technology. Yeah. I mean, I can't help but think you're going to agree with me, Nicola.
But before you jump into that, Nicola, I wanted to just one more on the whole idea of your industry. I don't think 5 years before, like a couple of years ago, I don't think you saw professionals with that title, change manager, but there's definitely a growth of that now. So would you say that the industry is in terms of the role that you're in, is it fairly new and has it seen a lot of interest in the past 2-3 years?
Yes, it's definitely an area that's grown significantly. Business change managers have been around for years, but it's always been driven by organizational change or cultural change. But that's where the technology, because of the advancements we've had in technology, that's where business change has grown in this particular area, because there is this recognized need that you can't just throw a training person at this anymore. You can't say, oh, we've got a new technology, I know what we'll do, we'll throw loads of people into a training room and get a trainer to train them. It doesn't work that way anymore. It's lots more about how this is going to disrupt them amongst all of the other technologies that they're being disrupted by, but how we can make sure that they are given all of the support and encouragement they need specific to what they do with the system.
And what I think is promising about what you've just said is you've actually used loads of different sectors in your example. So I think that regardless of the sector, anytime there's a new introduction of some kind of technology, it doesn't matter if you're in finance, legal, or even maybe banking or compliance, you will have to be able to have someone there managing and driving the change. So I think that's a lot of opportunity for people to get into tech as well, if they're great with, you know, people and change and understanding the psychology of influence. Yeah,
absolutely. I mean, my background, Mercedes, started, I was in sales years and years and years ago.
Oh, wow.
I started in technology sales. I sell printers. So I evolved from somebody who was selling technology through to then moving into project management and then evolving into change management. And the reason that I evolved into business change management, and this was probably coming on to Leanne's question there as well, is I don't know how to code. In fact, my children call me a boomer. And if anyone listening to this doesn't know what that means, it basically means me has no idea about technology. Which I imagine it's quite offensive when I get called that. but I don't know how to code. What I do know is I know enough about technology to understand what a technology-minded person would say and be able to translate that into a usable sentence, if I'm honest. You know, so I always talk about jargon busting, or acronyms, or specific words that people use in technology space, which makes sense to people in technology, and that's okay. But actually, it's literally like a different language. So it's being able to translate the two of them. So you don't need to have this IT, oh yes, I must be a specific kind of person, because I think that's, you know, let's break down some of these barriers here. And I'm going to be bold enough to say it. I know people who just think that if you work in IT, you need to be nerdy. Okay, I've had that question lots of times. And I know Leanne and I have spoken in the past about people that have spoken to us because we're females in technology, which is obviously even more of a siloed approach. You know, let's not open that door right now. But the idea or the concept that you have to be a specific mind to work in technology, it's wrong. It's completely wrong. Mm-hmm. And that's what I really love what you guys are achieving with everything you're trying to do is about, you can come into technology and understand that your skill set will suit that. My skill set comes from sales. It comes from sales, marketing, and an understanding of people. You know, I've always been fascinated with psychology. I tend to mediate very well, and I'm friendly enough. So when I was in projects, actually, I naturally evolved into a business change manager because I was always really, really, I was that project manager who actually could communicate with the business. And I was able to sell the product to them. And I always say selling, because that's kind of some of the role. It's really important. I've got skill sets that are not technically based.
Yeah. And how do you yourself then, not being technically based, keep up with the developments in the field? And how do you keep up with the trends? Because I imagine to be a change manager, you have to be a little bit ahead of what is going to be changing to be able to influence people and bring them along the journey. How do you keep up?
Absolutely. So I keep up on natural trends, just from natural progression. So that can be anything, you know, it obviously depends what we're talking about, but it can be anything from latest news through to being on the right forums. So for example, I'm on all of the Microsoft forums, because I'm always interested to see what they're evolving next or what they're releasing. But what I would say personally is I'm a really good team player, and I rely on my team. So part of a role of business, of being a business change manager or helping adopt change, is understanding where we are today and where we're going. So I will lean heavily on change analysts or business analysts who will help me to understand what the impact is going to be for that person. And as long as I understand that myself, I can communicate it. Mm-hmm. If I don't understand something technically, I just ask somebody. You know, that's the beauty of, I spoke about assumptions and stereotypes of somebody who works in IT. Well, let's also stereotype those people. You have this stereotype where somebody working in IT is very technically minded, and I use the word nerdy, but they're also really kind and willing to help and support. They just need the right person to ask them the right questions. So the amount of times I've kind of got up to somebody that I know that understands the system very well and said, can you give me a dummy's guide on this, please? Because I don't understand what I'm doing at the moment. And they can teach me.
And I 100%, my experience is completely aligned with that. Like, if you don't, you have to not be scared to ask. And I think quite a lot of people are scared to approach these really technical people that seem like, oh my gosh, they're so smart, I'm never going to understand what they're saying. And realize that loads of people are happy to explain things as much as they can, or as, you know, in the simplest way that they can. It's really on you to not be afraid to ask, and do you know what, just get it out there. And if you don't understand, just say, I don't understand. Don't worry about looking like silly or anything like that. I think just asking can get you so far.
And mentors work really well, and I'm sure you can agree with that, Leanne. You know, mentors, wherever you work, just having somebody in that area, whether they are as technically minded as you need them to be or not. For example, I've had, and also been a mentor myself for people where they've kind of gone, oh, I don't know the answer to that. And I'm like, oh, it's fine, I'll ask for you. You know, and I'm happy to be that person to stand up and kind of go, hey, Susan, can you help me with this? Because actually I have no idea what you're saying right now. Mm. And it's important for everyone listening to remember that we all have something to give. And I think there's this fear that you said so yourself, these really intelligent people, because typically to be able to understand binary, you know, it takes an acquired brain to do that. But that's just one skill. Mm. You know, we all hold different skill sets. You know, there's more than IQ, for example. You know, you have other qualities that you can lean on. What you need to try to remember, if you can, is if you are thinking, oh, I don't know the question, or I'm too scared to ask this question, everyone's in the same boat as you in some way or another. They may seem more intelligent there, but they may envy the fact that you can go and talk to somebody, you know. So it's about being level with people and understanding that actually we're as good as each other.
And you talked about skills and qualities. If someone is looking to get into technology change management, what sort of skills would you be looking for if you were hiring, or that you have really pulled on in your career to get branch into change management and now have your own business in it?
Yeah, I suppose it's quite maternal of me to say, but person goes a long way with their attitude. Mm-hmm. And what I mean by attitude is that their willingness and eagerness to succeed and learn and develop and essentially want a career. So if somebody's hungry for something, that's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for people who are kind of like, I don't know everything today, but I really would try my hardest to learn. So that's the first skill for me, is you need to be passionate about what you want to do. And I don't enjoy working with anybody who's not passionate about what they do. You know, when it comes to skills within change management, they vary. Obviously, some of my team are more analytical, So they focus more on the analysing of information and strategic side. Others are a lot more supportive, so they focus more on training. And obviously, we also have people in our team that are technically minded as well. When it comes to my skill set as a very successful business change manager through the years, even before my company, I always describe myself as being a bit of a mixture of somebody who is coordinated and organized. So I have that coordination side of me. I have the salesy part that I mentioned before. So I always look at the opportunity of everything. So what is this and how can this be promoted in a positive way for people to want it? I have this natural interest in psychology. So I really like to understand different personality traits and what makes people tick. I've always been like that way. I'm very good at taking two sides of a story. So I mediate in a lot. So that stands very, very good for where I am. I love language. So the communication side is really important to me and the friendliness. What else? In natural interest in technology as well, that's what I would say. Like, I love to help people and I love the fact technology is such a fabulous product that really helps support individuals. What else?
Sounds like you really believe in the products that you're, I think that's what's coming across, is that when you're trying to influence this change and you're rolling out this change, you actually truly believe that it is for a benefit. You're not just rolling out technology for technology's sake. So when you say, you know, you really sort of an interest in technology, it sounds like everything that you do, you genuinely believe that it can help.
Yeah. And if I'm honest, I think that's, you know, that's because I've been in the technology industry, do I really have to work this out? over 20 years. So I've seen how much technology has evolved.
Yeah.
And I find it scary. I really find it scary. And that helps me really sympathize with people that are going through that fear. Cause I find some technology really scary these days. I mean, my sons are into all of the VR stuff. Don't get me started on that. That terrifies me. But I'm also able to recognize just how fabulous and how useful technology is. And I love the fact that it can help everybody out. I mean, you look at all walks of life, you know, your elderly relatives that now can have an Apple Watch that essentially, if they fall down, will call somebody for them. I think that's fabulous.
That's,
I think,
amazing.
So, you know, so yeah, I do believe in technology and I really embrace helping people adapt to technology as well.
Yeah, amazing. So I think I'm not sure where we're at with time, but just to wrap up, we have a couple of takeaways that we wanted to get from you. I think, well, the first one that I'm most interested in is that what advice would you give to people when trying to keep up with accelerating technology change, either people trying to get into the industry or people they work for a company who's rolling out technology change, and how do they keep up with it?
Okay. Right. So how would I, so people who are trying to keep up with technology, let's answer that one first. Firstly, always look for the benefits of a product and how it will benefit you and other people, because that will help you understand and fear it less. The other thing that I would recommend you do, if you really wanted to improve how to or keep up to date with accelerating technologies, is put yourself forward for championing technologies. So people like myself love ambitious champions. Somebody who's really willing to embrace the latest things, they will be my go-to person, because I know that they're keen, they're eager, they're positive, and I'm more likely to discuss change, technology changes with them and ask them for help and give them early access to technology. So it's community driven, I guess. It's making sure that you are talking to the IT team, the project teams, understanding what's going on and what's new.
Can I just echo that the one of the main reasons why I work in technology is because I championed a tech project that Nicola actually project managed and worked with the tech team and understood more about the different roles and how the technology worked. Like, I thought technology was email and your computer before. And then I worked on this technology project and championed it and helped them with the project. And that got me my step into working in technology. So definitely if people are wanting to even learn a bit more about tech, if they think, you know, that they want to know more, and even if they don't want to get into the industry, you can learn loads by championing a change in your industry. But if you want to get that foot in, and you're not sure who to ask or where to go, championing in a project, a change, technology change project is a great way.
Absolutely. And it, I mean, that's in life, isn't it? If you really want something, then bloody go out and get it, you know, to open those opportunities. And that leads on to the second part of that. If you are looking to find ways to get into technology, find those opportunities. Again, technology has given us the opportunity to have this wonderful thing called Google. Go ahead and Google the life out of it. Start accepting invites to webinars or forums or great clubs. I mean, obviously, Leanne, you've got your Inclusitech. Go and join those things. Go. Just go and do it, you know. And that's one door opens, another door opens, another door opens. And that's general in life. But if technology is your thing, then just start researching and start taking. Just become a yes person. Yes, I'll do that. Yes, I'll go there. Yes, I'll join that.
Based on that, my question would be for you personally, Nicola, were there certain types of technologies that you were naturally more inclined or more curious about just based on the remit of what you do? Because I think that one of the possible factors with that is technology is just so daunting because it's such a broad term. And I think that as it progresses, we might start defining it a bit more, because just as you think you've understood and seen everything, and I had to even like check on my phone for this, Web3 is out. And then I was reading something about DAOs, which is decentralized autonomous organizations. So I was like, what? Now I have to understand what this is about. And it's like, there's always something else. Yes. So if you're interested within, you know, change management, are there certain sectors that you could keep an eye on?
Yes, I guess for me, within technical changes that are being rolled out, I will always keep more up to date with things that are impacting bigger audiences. Mm-hmm. So collaboration tools is one of the biggest ones. So for example, I'm always keeping my eyes peeled for everything Microsoft, Google related, changes that are happening to anything around that area, Salesforce, all of the big, what I call oxygen products. I'm always really focused on those. Why? Because that's my industry. That's where most people are impacted, but not just impacted once. It's the reinforcement element that comes into that. We're all using Teams, Zoom, whatever, but these are constantly changing and you have to keep up to date, but also help other people keep up to date. So that's my area that I tend to keep involved in. If I'm honest, I don't keep up to date with everything technology. It's either focused purely on what I'm doing from a business attribute or personally. And personally would obviously be anything that's enhancing my life or improving my life. So a lot of that would be around fitness apps, for example. I like to keep fit. I'm always on the likes of the Stravas of the world and the Training Peaks and all of these things that can help coach me. Those are technologies that I would always keep more advanced with. So I guess that's actually a message in itself, isn't it? What makes you tick as an individual? Because there's a technology out there for you.
Yes, like mine is automation. Oh, I love a bit of automation. And I work in integrations where we automate data. Anything that could be done automatically, that's for me.
Yeah, and I can see why that's, because again, you're making people's lives easier as well.
Yeah,
essentially. Yeah. It's logic. I think we're quite similar that way. It's a logic, like if something's illogical, it frustrates me.
Yeah.
So for example, why should I have to go into that system and then that system and then that system and that system? Actually, why can't we automate that and make the whole thing easier?
Yeah.
And you look at like the similarities between you and Leah, and effectively your entrance into the market was all about helping others. Mm. And, you know, it started for Leanne in retail, but it's kind of this, let me support other people. And then you built the knowledge to be able to do that in a different context. And I think that's really useful advice, because it's nothing to do with learning how to code. It's just about a willingness to serve others and then self-educate. And because essentially, like with that example that you used, if I am passionate about Teams, I can be the person in my team that's like the champion and the user, super user that people can go to. And then before you know, that can manifest into a different role in tech almost. And it happens without you even knowing it. And that's been a lot of people's stories about how they got into tech. So it's really interesting hearing both of you add to that.
Yeah, and to add to that, Mercedes, that's probably a really good point for your listeners there as well. Don't just go, oh, that's the career for me. I didn't start, but I went down project management and realized actually I don't want to do that as much as I want to do business change management. One of our team, they still are, but they were very analytically driven. They love data, and they still love data, but actually, so naturally they come in going, I want to be a BA. And then through learning experience, they recognize that actually they enjoy more project management side of it. I had another person who did very similar, but ended up thinking they want enjoy training, but they didn't. They actually prefer communications. So don't just pick one path and think you have to go down that. The beauty of technology is there's lots of different dog legs as such. You can be going down this way, but embrace the 90 degree shove to the right, because that's actually suiting you now more than something else.
And I have one more takeaway question before we wrap up. So I actually saw this question on a forum, and I thought that this is such a cool question to ask. So I'm going to ask Leanne and Dikla what you
Ooh.
think about this.
Oh
So the
no.
question is, if you could have a do-over, would you, and why?
Oh,
So
gosh. That's a
that's,
deep question, Mercedes.
It is a deep
I was
question,
like,
isn't
oh my
it?
God,
Nicola,
that's
you go
an
first. You're
interesting
the
question. Thanks, love. Would I do a do-over? If I'm honest, I would say yes, I would. But the reason I would say yes, I would is because I wouldn't say I've matured at all, actually, but I matured later in life, and I've learned a lot more about myself as I've become older than what I did when I was younger. I did fall into technology. I'm not going to deny that. It's not to make anything untrue. But as I've got older, my passions for other things have developed as well. So if I was to do a do-over, it would focus more on my caring side. So I would focus more on caring for the planet more, and I would do a lot more eco things, specifically around the oceans and things like that. But that is something I never would have had. I wasn't exposed, or I wouldn't have had that opportunity when I was younger. But if I was to reverse that question to keep positive about technology, because it's obviously it's an interesting question all in all, would I change a different industry if I was still working in the corporate world? The answer is absolutely not. Absolutely love technology, and I love it for its good and its bad, by the way. I love the fact that I'm empowering women, for example. I was in a meeting yesterday, and I was the only female, and it was obviously an IT driven meeting. I was the only female there, and I didn't feel inferior. I didn't feel disappointed. I'm rallying for equality, but I was proud that I was at the front of that. So I love the industry I work in. I love the people I work with. I love the opportunities I get. So from a corporate aspect, absolutely, I'm really, really happy with my choice. But from a life, it's different.
Maybe I should have gone first. I feel like I haven't got as
I
good an answer as
thought
that.
too late. Oh goodness.
You never
My
know.
answer is no, I wouldn't do over, because I feel like every step of the way that I have come has made me given me the skills and the experience to be effective now. I would like to have done more, and such maybe tried to have accelerated that change. Did you see that in line with the
Yep. Wink,
Very
wink.
good, very good.
Thank you. But I definitely, when I used to work in retail and deal with difficult customers and manage, sort of younger employees, and had to find a way to communicate with them. Why do they want to come in at 7 a.m. on a Saturday morning and, unpack the delivery and hang it all out? So I had to find sort of ways to persuade them to sort of do things. So those skills I've been able to take away and implement and use them, and I can see them in my day-to-day career now, of how, oh gosh, if I hadn't had that experience, I wouldn't be able to do this now. So as much as I would like to have maybe done more and learnt more, and gotten on the technology bandwagon a bit sooner, because I do love it so much, I definitely think the experience that I've had in a different industry completely, knowing nothing about technology, is such a huge benefit for me, particularly when we're talking about accelerating technology change, because I've sat on both sides of, no, I don't want to change anything. So now I'm here saying, yes, change everything. It's amazing. So that's my
That
answer, I think.
is great.
Good.
That's
Those
good.
are absolutely those are great responses. Yeah, I think that it's good that you come from different ends of the spectrum.
Would you, Mercedes?
Of course I would. I would be Beyonce. No, I'm joking.
Yeah.
No. No, I don't know. I lean towards you, both of you, because Leanne, I do think that everything I've done adds, and I keep adding as I go through life.
And then it's
a bit like the, I don't know if you guys have read The Alchemist, but you know when he says like happiness is like you have a glass full of a spoonful of oil or something, and you're walking into a room full of treasures and you can't spill anything from your spoon. And he said he describes life a bit as like that. And I think that I feel like everything kind of adds up in the end. And maybe when you look back at towards the latter part of your journey, you might be like, oh, my career actually makes sense. But you never feel like that in the moment. No. But I don't think I would have changed sectors because I have many interests. So I think if I did change, I would be in something really random. Like maybe I would be baking. Or I could. Because I love cooking. So I might have done something different and been a chef or something. So yeah. I think that, I wouldn't really change sectors because I do love the professional services market. And I do love the idea of supporting other people and developing their strengths and bringing, you know, people together to have that sense of belonging. So, yeah, I think I would have been in the same sector. So I don't think I would do over, but I equally accept that I might have ended up in an entirely different field. Like I could be acting, I could be a cook. Oh my God, I've opened a can of worms.
The opportunities now. I hope to see you again.
I live by my own belief. If I don't worry about what I would tell my 20-year-old, I worry about what my 50-year-old would tell me now. Yeah, so I try to live in that moment. And I think to your point of maybe I'd have baked, actually there's still time, you know, that you're doing this now, but this is only for now. You know, the future is still there. My desires and passions to help with the ecosystem as I get older, I also recognize the attributes I've developed and obtained through my career to help me progress to that when I'm older.
Yeah.
So it's that kind of actually what will my 50-year-old be telling me? They'd be telling me, oh, don't worry about it, love, because actually everything that you've acquired skill set wise is now going to help you in your future career. Yeah. So it's kind of, you know, it's that dog leg thing again. And it's coming back to my message of don't just go, I'm going to be this person. I'm going to be this person now. And I might actually recognize that there's something else in technology I want to do so I can jump and it's okay to change.
Yeah.
There you go. Okay. The life of change manager.
It's cringy, the two of you. Exhilarating.
Luckily, love technology.
Great.
but I guess your point is this is all about being open-minded.
Absolutely. Yeah. There you are.
Amazing. Well, thank you very much, Nicola, for joining us.
This has been really great, guys. Thanks for the conversation. It's been making me think and challenge my own thoughts. So that's really great.
If you've stuck with us till the very end on the podcast as well, thank you so much for listening. As I said at the beginning, we have other episodes which might be of interest. So go to www.iltanet.org to find out more about how to, you know, change and venture into tech and different opportunities and roles available. Thank you very much, ladies. Have a lovely
Christmas, New Year.
Gosh, we're saying Christmas already. Merry Christmas, everyone.
Have a lovely
December,
time.
Whatever you're doing. And then we'll speak to you in the new year.
Thanks for tuning into this ILTA Radio Fresh Voices episode. Check out more episodes and other ILTA podcasts on iltanet.org and all other podcast platforms.